All right, well, let's start off with prayer, and then we will sing. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for meeting with us today. I ask, Lord, that you break into our anxiety, any fears or any thoughts that we have about the rest of the day, that you calm them and still them. That you allow us to center on your word, and that we can hear from you today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today's reading is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. And Sandy, would you do us the honor of reading this passage for us? 12 through 25. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for being with us. I ask that the Holy Spirit fills us and gives us the ears to hear your word, to receive the light that you are bringing into our darkness. I ask this in Jesus' name. In today's gospel reading, that was read beautifully by Sandy, thank you very much, Matthew is describing the dawn of the messianic era. He's describing the light of the gospel that penetrates into the darkest corners of Jewish society. And as Jesus goes and announces the good news of the kingdom of God, he shows that it's not just for the righteous and good Jews. That this message that he has is not just even for Jews, but it has an even more universal scope than the original hearers can even imagine or think. That his call to repentance, to follow, and to be healed is for all of us. What is the darkness that Jesus enters into? The opening words of this reading is, "Now when he heard that John had been arrested." We met John last week, in last week's sermon. John the Baptist, the prophet in the wilderness, he baptized Jesus. He began this new word, this new message of the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. He started this thing. And when Jesus hears that his cousin's ministry had been forcefully ended, this is when he decides, now I make my move and begin my ministry. I'm going to start it in Galilee. The very edge of Jewish society. That's where I'm going to go. And he goes there, and who does he find? He finds two characters that we should be familiar with if you were here last Sunday. Andrew and Peter. And if you remember, Andrew was a disciple of John. He followed John. He was with him. And he met Jesus. He spent the day with Jesus, and he was so excited by what he saw and what he heard that he had to run home and grab his brother Peter and drag him into a meeting with Jesus, where Jesus then renamed him and said, "You're no longer going to be a stumbling block to the kingdom of God, but you are Peter, the rock." Now Jesus goes to Galilee, and he finds Andrew and Peter doing what? Fishing. Thank you. They're fishing. Why are they fishing? They'd been with John. They'd already met Jesus. But here they were fishing. John's arrest stopped their forward movement. When John was arrested, their hopes and dreams for a new life and a new kingdom were plunged into darkness. And they gave up. They went home. They go back to the thing that they know how to do. They're fishermen. And they were foolish for thinking that they could be anything more, or that there was anything more in life for them. We often find ourselves in this position. We experience some spiritual growth, we get excited, we move forward, things are happening, there's a lot of change, and then something happens that arrests our forward movement. And our hopes and dreams are plunged back into darkness. A loved one gets sick or dies. Work is lost. Finances become tight. An interview for a job that falls through. Sin that we thought was over, that we thought was conquered, creeps back in. And all of our hopes that seem so bright darken. This is what happened for Andrew and Peter. This is where Jesus finds them. In a boat, fishing. Because there's nothing else for them. Fortunately, we have a God who doesn't leave us in our darkness, finds us, breaks in, and says, "Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." John's arrest has not arrested the development of the kingdom of God in you. Repent and turn from your despair. And follow me into the hope that I have to offer. Jesus' call to repentance is not a one-time event. Because if it was, Peter and Andrew would still be in the boat. They would have never left to follow him. If God's call to repentance was a one-time event, none of you would be here today. Because the moment you experience failure after your repentance, you would just give up and there'd be no one to chase you down. But Jesus says, "No, my call to repentance is a daily exercise. The light I bring to you every day because I know how dark your hearts are, how dark the world is, and how dark the devil is. And they will daily try to overwhelm you." So Jesus daily breaks into our lives and says, "Repent, turn from the darkness, and look to me. I carry the light of the hopes that you thought were lost. All your hopes and dreams that you thought were lost and abandoned and forgotten, live in me. So turn away and follow me into the healing that I have for you." This is what our Savior daily offers us. He does it in grand ways and in personal ways. Last year, Jeremy shared with me a story about his dad's death. His dad died when Jeremy and his brother Justin were in their early 20s. And Justin, for the funeral, Jeremy's older brother, really wanted one thing for the funeral. He wanted to play one song during the funeral that he and his dad had connected to. The song was Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness by Smashing Pumpkins. And for most of you, you might not even know who the Smashing Pumpkins are, but just even from the name Smashing Pumpkins, you might already be like, I don't know. Well, that's exactly what Jeremy and Justin's aunts felt. They were controlling the funeral, and no, we're not going to play Smashing Pumpkins at our brother's funeral. That's not going to happen. Sorry. Even though if they had looked into the song, they would find out that it was just a beautiful instrumental piece. But they dismiss Justin's request and plunge his hope, his last connection, his wanting to mourn and remember his father, they plunge that into darkness. Say, sorry, no way. So the following year, it's a hard year for Jeremy and Justin. Justin is invited to attend a wedding in England for some friends. His friends are actually related. They have family ties to a castle in England, and so they were allowed to use it for their wedding. It's this big stone castle. I don't even think it had windows. It's just big and stone and airy. And Justin's part of the party, the bridal party, so he has to be there early. So he finds his way to this castle the early morning. He and his friends get a little lost trying to figure out where this castle is. They finally find it. And they slowly approach the castle in the mid-morning gloom. As they approach, the pastor's son begins warming up on the piano. And it starts to fill the castle. And as it fills the castle, the song that Jeremy's brother Justin wanted to play at his dad's funeral rushes out of the castle to greet him. The very day and hour to the year of his dad's funeral. And the light of Christ breaks into Justin's darkness as Jesus says, I don't dismiss these moments. Other people, even you, may have forgotten about this, but I haven't forgotten about these little hopes and dreams that are lost in darkness. Jesus died so he could find those lost moments and bring them back from the dead with him and restore them to us. This is the Savior that we have. This is the hope that we have. So today, as a practical exercise, I know we all have moments of darkness, moments that are difficult. They may be going on right now. They may be in the past. But if you will, close your eyes and acknowledge these darkened areas of our lives. Because we are people who do not have to run from this darkness, but we can acknowledge them. And Jesus, who promises to meet us, to be with us where two or more are gathered, well, he's here. He's here in this room. And so what I would like is once you have this moment, whatever it is for you, it could be sin, it could be a loss, it could be a hardship, whatever it is. Ask Jesus, who is here? Where is your light breaking in? Because it's there. Just ask him to show it to you. The light of Christ breaks into our darkness. It says, repent. Turn from the darkness. Follow me into the healing I have for you. Jesus, I thank you for not giving up on us when we have given up on you. I thank you for pursuing us daily. Lord, I ask for forgiveness for the ways I have given up and I have focused too much on the darkness. I turn to you. Turn to you and see the light and the hope that lives in you. All my hopes and dreams that have died live in you. We follow you, Lord, into the light and life and healing that you have for us. Jesus' name. Amen. Now we are going to do our offering. And you can take this time to continue asking God where he is. And you can also take this time to write prayer requests for the board that Adam and I pray throughout the week. But then also, I want you guys to be reminded that today we started meeting over next door in the cabin at 9:45, and we prayed through the prayer requests together. It was really cool. So just know that your requests are being prayed for not only by Adam and myself, but by other people in the church. And we are lifting up your requests to the light of Christ. Now we move into Lord's Supper. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. After giving thanks for it, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat of it." Likewise, he took the cup, blessing it. He said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it." As you come up, you can come up to myself or to Adam, and remember that wine is on the outer ring, grape juice is on the inner. You guys can come, start coming up whenever you're ready. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.